Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, as you know, this Lent season, we are exploring what it might have looked like, or what it might look like, if we could call witnesses from the past to come forward for a trial, a courtroom setting, Jesus on trial, his claim to be the Messiah on trial. And in the first week, our first witness was John the Baptist, who proclaimed, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Last week, we had the insider, a Pharisee, someone on the inside, and what they were thinking about Jesus. Nicodemus and the other members of the Sanhedrin knew that he must be from God because he did things that only God could do. Yet they didn't seem to be able to quite put it together. This week we go from the insider to the outsider, a foreigner. And I imagine in the courtroom it would begin something like this. "Thank you for coming and being a witness in our trial today. My understanding is that you are a single Samaritan woman. Is that correct?" "Yeah." "And do you understand the purpose of this trial?" "Oh, absolutely, yes. It's about the validity claims of Jesus of Nazareth." "Correct. So getting right to the point, what is your opinion of Jesus of Nazareth?" "Well, that's a pretty complicated question because you have to understand, I had an initial opinion of him, but then I had a second opinion of him, and then third, I had a third opinion. And all opinions were actual, they were factual, they were real, they were transpiring in a time that things were just moving very quickly for me, but all based on facts. So all three opinions put together are the whole or the whole truth." "Oh. Well, that's not quite what I was expecting. Very interesting. Why don't we just begin with opinion number one?" "Great! Thank you. I was so hoping that that's exactly what you would say." "It is? Why?" "Well, because it's a little embarrassing. But I think that when I give my answer, well, we're in court. I have to speak the truth, right? I have a feeling you're going to dismiss me as a witness." "What? I don't understand. What are you talking about?" "Well, let me explain. First of all, I'm a Samaritan, and Samaritans are terribly looked down on by the Jewish people. Second, I'm a woman. And so in a court of law, according to the Jews, my testimony means nothing. But third, I'm more than both a Samaritan and a woman." "A Samaritan? This isn't in Israel. This isn't a Jewish court. What does being a Samaritan, why would they hate you?" "Oh, okay. Let me just fill you in a little bit on the history here. They see us as half-breeds. It goes back to the time of Isaiah. The northern kingdom called Israel was overrun by the Assyrian army led by Sennacherib. And when we were overrun, the outcome for the people of Israel was one of three things. They were killed, or they were taken off into captivity, or there was a small portion that were allowed to stay and inhabit the land, but they brought in people primarily from conquered countries throughout Mesopotamia to come and resettle the land. And so my ancestors intermingled with them and ended up, marrying some of them. And so I'm half Jew, I'm half Mesopotamian. But, you know, that Jewish part of our ancestry really kind of took hold. We held on to that Jewish heritage. And so we have our own Pentateuch, our own five books, first five books of the Bible, and we have our own views of things. And of course, this is what the Jews, they hate because, well, were half-breeds, and they see that what we believe as being heretical. And so we're not even allowed to worship in the court of Israel in Jerusalem. So we built our own temple here in Samaria on Mount Gerizim. Sit right over there. And, you know, that's where Father Abraham settled. That's where Father Abraham was willing to sacrifice his son Isaac. We have our own history, and we are living where Father Abraham lived. And this is our history. You should understand that. What do you mean I should understand that? Well, you're a learned man. You've been to school. You've passed the bar. I'm sure that you were taught U.S. history when you were in the university. Were you not? Well, yes. About George Washington, Lincoln, and all of those guys? Well, yes, of course. Why? Well, isn't there now a new history being taught based on what's called this critical race theory? Well, yeah, that's just a bunch of garbage. It's, yeah, And so you look at those people the way that the Jews look at us, that ours is an alternative history. It means nothing. And so that is why there is tension. It was tension that got so bad in the first century that Rome actually came to bring peace. And they did it by arresting anybody that was causing the tension and crucifying them. I see. Okay, well, that explains why, as a Samaritan and a woman, that people might look down on you. But what's the "and more" that you were talking about? Finally, we get to it. Samaritan bad, woman bad. I've been married 5 times, divorced 5 times, and the guy I was living with, well, he wasn't my husband. And so the Jewish people would look at me and say, fornication, stoner. And to be honest, the people in my own town, they held on to the Pentateuch. They looked at me and said, divorced 5 times, living with a guy who's not her husband, we probably should stone her. And, you know, I figured you'd probably want to let me go after that. Well, yes, I think that's exactly what we are going to do. That was not in my notes. Yeah, I figured that's the normal reaction. I'm used to it. I'm scum. But, you know, see, that's the difference between you and everybody else and Jesus. What do you mean? Well, ostracized by the Jews, ostracized by my own people. And yet, when I went to that well that day and Jesus is sitting there at the well, he looked at me and said, give me a drink. It's like, you've got to be kidding me. A Jewish man asking me, a Samaritan woman, for a drink? That's absurd. And that's exactly what I said to him. And he looked at me and he said, if you knew the gift of God, who it is that is saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Okay, so let me get this straight. The difference between Jesus, the Jews, me, is that he actually talked to you and asked you for a drink of water. He was willing, if I'm understanding correctly, he was willing to become unclean by drinking water from a bucket that you, a Samaritan, used. Is that correct? Yeah, thank you. Thank you so very much. You just made me feel so much better. I made you feel better? What are you talking about? Well, you made the same mistake I made. A mistake? What mistake did I make? Jesus wasn't asking me. He was telling me to get a drink. He said, give me a drink. I assumed he was asking, and so I said, you, a Jew, ask me? And he came back with the command, give me a drink. But then he took a step further and turned the tables on me and said that if I knew who he was, I'd be the one who'd be doing the asking. I'd be asking him for living water. Oh my. That is intriguing. I don't think we're going to release you at this point in time. What happened? Well, I argued with him. I pointed out he didn't have any bucket to draw the water with, that the well's deep, and I pointed out that he's being a bit of a snob, my first opinion, and thinking that he was better than Jacob, our father, our heritage. And I was pointing out, the well's here in Samaria. This is where Father Abraham was. This is where Jacob was. And I'm pointing this out to him, and then I thought I'd call him on it. So where do you get this living water? And he said, taking me back to what I had just said, you drink water from this well, you're going to be thirsty again. But if you drink the water that I can give you, the living water, oh, you'll never thirst. In fact, it will become in you a well gushing up and producing eternal life. So I called him on it. Give me the water. You know, put up or shut up. Give me the water. I don't want to thirst anymore. I don't want to have to come here anymore. I don't want to have to. I'm coming here in the middle of the day because of who I am. The weather women, they come in the morning or they come in the evening when it's cool. I come at this time so I don't have to deal with them because they all look down on me. They think less of me and all of that. And so I called on him to give me that water. Did he? No. But that's what changed my opinion from him being a snobbish Jew to something else. Really? What? Well, when I asked him for it, he just looked at me and he said, go call your husband. Come here. Bring him here. And I looked at him and I said, I have no husband. He looked at me and he said, well, finally you're talking the truth. You've been divorced 5 times. Now the guy you're shacking up with is not your husband. Oh, my. That's pretty brutal. Yep. Ostracized by my own people. When I went to that well, I was not expecting this. Well, how did you respond to it? Well, I'm no dummy. I knew this man had to be a man of God. He was a teacher or a prophet. How else would he know? God must have revealed it to him. But the nerve. He was so rude. Didn't care about my feelings, it appeared. And so I still argued with him. I pointed out that Jacob worshipped here, that Abraham was willing to sacrifice his son here, and that he, a Jew, feels that we have to worship in Jerusalem. They won't let us worship there. And he just came right back and said, you know, the hour's coming when you're not going to worship either on Mount Gerizim or in Jerusalem on Zion in the temple. No, the time is going to come when people will worship in spirit and in truth. And that's what God seeks. It's people who worship in spirit and in truth beyond the location. And that struck a chord. It brought back to me what my parents had taught me from the scriptures. That when the Messiah came, he would come for Jew, for Samaritan, for Gentile. He'd come for all. And so I said to him, perceiving that he was a teacher or a prophet, I know that Messiah is coming. He who is called Christ, he will tell us all things. And that's when my opinion changed again. Why? What happened? His response, I who speak to you am he. What? You asked. He had just told me about the Christ and said he was the Christ. And? Well, I ran into town. I told the people in town. I know you don't like me. I know you don't think much of me. But there is a man out of Jacob's well He confronted me with the truth. I'm divorced 5 times, shacking up with a guy, and I shouldn't be doing it. He knew it. And he claims to be the Messiah. Come and see. Did they? Yeah. Whole town went out. And you know what? He acted like the Messiah. He stayed with us for 2 whole days. He even told his disciples that the Samaritans that were there, that they were like a field that was white with harvest. And he was there to harvest. He cared for us. He showed love for us, compassion for us. And at the end of the 2 days, a fair number of the people in town said, and I quote, "We know that this is indeed the Savior of the world." You know, if we were in that courtroom and we had just heard that testimony, I have a funny feeling that the attorney would have simply looked at the judge and said, "Your Honor, I have no more questions." Because here's a person that you would not expect to be a witness. Someone who, to this day, we would look down on. And yet, maybe, just maybe, that's what makes her a profoundly good witness. In our Savior's name, amen.